Now, on the line, we have Brendan Spratt and Gavin McConnon. How are you doing, Brendan?
Hi, Ray.
How are you doing, Gavin?
Hey, Ray. How are you doing?
Good.
Nice. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. Now, you spoke to Brendan around this time last year.
Yeah, we were in on the first day of lockdown on the 16th of March.
Last year, right.
Yeah.
Now, who wants to tell me the story of your lives?
I'll let Brendan do that.
Okay, one. Brendan, so how did you meet, the two of you?
Yeah, we're friends about 17 years. We just met out in Dublin through friends, and we were in a big circle of friends for a long time. And 15 years ago, a group of us went on holidays, and a few drinks were taken, and we shared a kiss, and we're together ever since.
Yeah, and it was that moment, because you had been friends, and I suppose a lot of people go, you know, I'm running the risk now of ruining a lovely friendship for something that may not work out.
Yeah, it was. We had this secret relationship for a few months. Well, for a few weeks, just to make sure. Yeah, it was a big risk to, because obviously we had a really good friendship, yeah. But there's a big risk going from friendship to boyfriend to partner. But thankfully, it worked out for us. I'm glad we took the risk.
Yeah. So when did you get married?
We were married 5 years now. We got married in May of the marriage referendum was in May. And we, by chance, we'd wanted to get married. We were together 9 years at that stage. A lot of our friends were getting married, and we wanted to make a commitment to each other. So we had actually booked our wedding for the July after the marriage referendum. We'd booked a ceremony, really. So thankfully, the referendum passed then in May. So our wedding just turned out to be a huge celebration for all our friends.
Yes.
It just felt like such a huge celebration for more than just us. It felt like such a huge celebration for all the gay people in Ireland, yeah. and their friends and families.
And then, Gavin, you need to go back and do it officially then, because obviously it was passed, but it took a while for the legislation to be put in place.
That's it, yeah. So yeah. The referendum was in May, but I think it was kind of towards the end of December that the legislation actually passed. So although we had a fantastic big day with our family and our friends and our humanist celebrant, we actually had to do the legal paperwork afterwards. So we did a second wedding a year later, and we decided we'd keep that really small, and it was just very close family and our best men. And the same celebrant came along to that, and we just did it in a function room of a hotel. Okay. And it was perfect again, but we didn't want to take away from the big day that we had the year before, which really was the celebration.
And Brendan, in the lead up to, you know, proposing to each other, was there chat about children?
You know, like Ireland, the world has changed so much we're both in our early 40s now. So like when we were in our 20s, I suppose we're just living our lives in our 20s. But the idea of having children just didn't seem possible to us. We didn't know any other gay couples with children. It just didn't seem like something that could be in our future. But it was actually at our wedding day, two gay friends of ours told us that they had started a surrogacy journey. And it was just around that time that it really seemed like something that could be possible for us to become parents, to create our own family.
Right. And Gavin, you and Brendan agreed that this was something you wanted to do.
Yeah, we'd been talking about it, I suppose. We'd spoken about it before our wedding, but I think at that point it was like this was something that it seemed now achievable and that the possibilities were out there. And I suppose after our wedding, you know, we started going on Google, we started looking up like, you know, how is this possible? What do we need to do? And there's lots of resources online for same-sex families and people who are trying to create their families and information about the journey and the process, because it's not easy. It's very complicated, and it's a big learning experience. And what happened then was we took a honeymoon about 6 months after our wedding. We waited till January timeframe because we wanted to go to Australia. And it was while we were in Australia on our honeymoon, we said, let's actually start doing this seriously. Let's set up some Skype calls. Everybody used Skype before Zoom. We set up some Skype calls and talked to the agencies involved, which are mostly based in the United States, surrogacy agencies and IVF clinics, and just find out what the process is. And it was after those calls, we just got a really good vibe from the people that we spoke to. We kind of, you know, we decided we'd move forward with this and sign up with them.
Okay, it sounds like a callous way of saying it, but Brendan, describe the logistics of it, because it is a sort of logistical thing, isn't it?
Yeah, like it is quite complicated. I guess any couple that have gone to IVF will tell you what a roller coaster it is. We had the logistically, there's like you have to sign up with a surrogacy agency, and the surrogacy agency will match you with a surrogate.
Right.
But then on the other side, the second agency you have to sign up with is an IVF clinic,
right.
And the IVF clinic will look after the medical side. So they'll create your embryos, and they then will implant the embryo into your surrogate.
Okay.
So that's it in a nutshell, really. Okay, we also then.
But just hold on now. We need to talk a little bit about that. So,
yes.
So you're through the surrogacy agency, you're finding a woman who's going to carry your child for 9 months.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And longer than 9 months, really, because, you know, this person could be in your life, or in our case, is in our life long after that. So it's such an important decision. And yeah.
You choose that person?
Well, that's why you go through an agency. Our agency said to us they are going to find us the perfect surrogate for us. So, you know, we flew to the States. We met the agency. You do a lot of paperwork. They get a real feel for you, what you're looking for. And then they told us that they were going to find us the perfect surrogate for us. And then 9 months later, we were on holidays and we got an email, and they sent us a bio for Noelle and Richard, her husband. And right. We just got a good feeling straight away. And we were like, yeah, these couple seem like the perfect couple to help us have a child.
And this is what they call commercial surrogacy. It's not altruistic. You have to pay this woman, Noelle, a fee.
Yes. So we, like as a same-sex couple, our options are limited where we could do surrogacy. So we wanted to go to the States, where everything is done very legally and everyone is protected from the same sex couple to the surrogate.
So the IVF clinic then provide an egg, and then how is it decided whose sperm is used?
Well, it's even deciding on the egg is another part of the process.
Yes, of course. Yes. Well, that's a big part, isn't it? Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. You actually go to an egg donor agency then to find an egg donor, and that in itself is another complicated decision. And there's lots of different options there. But once you've made that choice, and the egg donor has donated their eggs, which is, you know, very similar to a traditional IVF process. myself and Brendan had spoken early on that we wanted to have two kids. Our plan was always to have two. So we decided what we would do if we got the right number of eggs was to split them in two, excuse me, and try and go for one each.
One each, right. So use your sperm, Brendan,
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay. And that's the way it's been done. And you will, Theo and Lily, Theo is three and Lily is one, and they will know then, as they get older, which one is their biological dad, I suppose.
Yeah, it's not something we talk about like that. this is yours or this is yours. You know, we're one family.
Yeah, I know.
Theo,
I know.
But Theo and Lily know us as daddy and papa. And,
yeah, I suppose, you know, but it may have implications for medical things down the line. It could have.
Ultimately, you're right biologically. You know, one of them is mine and one of them is Brendan's, but the egg donor is the same egg donor.
Yes.
So they're biologically connected on that side, and then the same surrogate carried the two of them. So they have the same relationship with Noelle, our surrogate.
Okay.
And, you know, she keeps in touch as well.
Okay. You sent us in a copy of Lily's birth cert, state of Colorado, and it says she was born December 2019. She's female. And then it says father's name, Brendan Spratt. And then father's name, Gavin McConnon. There's very little detail apart from that on it. And that's it. That's Lily's birth cert. Now, that's not recognised, is it, by the Irish government? Is that it?
That's it. If we're in the States tomorrow, or if we lived in the States, that birth cert is obviously recognised, and we're considered the legal parents of Theo and Lily. Their birth certs are the same, and both of us are listed on the birth cert as father and father.
Yes.
But when we come back into Ireland with that birth cert, it's not recognised by the Irish legal system, which throws up all sorts of complications with everything.
So what's Lily's status then in relation to you in Ireland?
We don't have a status at the moment.
Right.
Both our children, even though Theo's three, in Irish law, it's the woman who gave birth to Theo and Lily is considered their mother. Now, just remember that Noelle, our surrogate, actually has no genetic relationship to our children.
Yes.
But in Irish law, the Irish law considers her the mother. But the worst part for us is that if your surrogate is married, which ours is, her husband is automatically considered our children's father. So in by Irish law, our surrogate and our husband are considered the children's okay. parents. And we're waiting to go through the courts to correct that for Theo. But our court date has been pushed back, obviously, to do with COVID. So at the moment, our status is just very grey. We neither of us have any legal status there.
So how did you then get Lily and Theo back into the country if you're legally not their parents?
Well, we're legally their parents, I suppose, in the US. We're biologically their parents.
Right.
And, you know, that.
So what about leaving the country then? Have you left the country with them?
We have, yeah. So they both have US passports.
No, but have
so
you left
US
Ireland with them?
Because they're born in the States.
Have you left Ireland with them?
We have left Ireland, yeah. Yeah, we okay. have. Yeah, before COVID, Theo travelled a lot in his first year, and, okay. and Lily unfortunately didn't get to go so far. But yeah, they both have US passports.
Aha, so there's no Irish documentation then, do they?
We've no Irish documentation. Okay. We managed to get PPS numbers for them just in the last couple of months, but even that was a complicated process where Brendan was dealing with the PPS office.
Okay,
it's just back and forth, and I got an email saying you need to. I'd sent an email to the PPS office explaining our situation and the uniqueness of it, and I got an email back saying you need to figure out question 9, whatever that was, and I looked at it and it said mother's maiden name, and I emailed them back and I just said, you know, we're a same-sex family, it's two fathers, and they just got back to me and said, listen, I need you to fill something out on this. I need something in mother's maiden name. So it's like just computer says no, you know, it just had to, you know, I had to fill that out. So it was a bit of, like, just was a bit of a kick in the gut that we have to basically lie to get our kids a PPS number.
Okay. So in Ireland, right, are you guardians in Ireland, legally guardians of the two children?
So at the moment, we're legally nothing. What we're doing
You're legally
is we're
nothing.
Applying...
You have no legal connection to your two children.
We've no legal connection to our two children. We have applied to the courts in Ireland. This is the court date Brendan mentioned, which has just been pushed back because of COVID. And what we're applying for in the court is where one of us is applying to be Theo's legal parent and one of us is applying to be Theo's legal guardian. And that's the best we can hope for here in Ireland at the moment. And that will give us, you know, obviously some sort of security, but it doesn't give us the security okay. we want. Guardianship is not parental. It expires when the child becomes 18 years old. It would, you know, it affects things like decisions later on in life around, you know, medical decisions. It affects things like inheritance. And it's just not what we are. We're both Theo's parents and we both want to be recognised as Theo's parents.
Yeah. Now, we got a statement from the department and it does say that there were guidelines issued in 2012 around all of this. So you would have been aware of what you were getting into, would you?
Well, we would, but we'd no other choice. Like, if we wanted to have kids, this was the only option open to us. The guidelines that have been issued, and I'm not sure exactly which ones in 2012, but there is discussions at the moment about bringing in the assisted human reproduction yes. bill, and the legal part of it is above my pay grade. But my understanding of that is it will only affect couples who've been through surrogacy or IVF in Ireland.
You're right there. I read it there today. You're right.
That's not open to us as a same-sex couple. If you go as a same-sex couple to any IVF clinic in Ireland, they won't talk to you because they're not sure of the grey area in the legal situation yes. and they don't want to fall on the wrong side of the law. So they just won't deal with you. So same-sex couples are forced to go abroad to have to create their families to other countries.
This is only proposed legislation, this one you referred to, but it's only going to allow for altruistic surrogacy, not commercial surrogacy.
Is there, but it's very few and far between, and it is harder to source, obviously, because, you know, the surrogate doesn't get paid, and they're doing it purely out of for altruistic reasons.
Yes, yeah, and it's not going to legislate for surrogacy like you've been involved in, so it's not going to cover Lily and Theo at all in any way, shape, or form.
No, and I'm afraid we're going to fall between the cracks there, and that nothing is going to happen that's going to protect our family. And that is the fear.
What way do they do it in other countries? Do either of you know?
Well, if we were in the US, that those birth certs are just recognised. Yes, and like, yes, if we move to the US tomorrow for whatever reason, we're just the legal parents. And that's the way it is. Yes. Yeah, every country is different around this. And I wouldn't like to comment on how other countries do it because it is a legal minefield.
Yeah, I know there's a campaign which has been put together to try and get it sorted for people like yourselves. So the ultimate aim for you two is that Brendan Spratt and Gavin McConnon will be father and father to Lily and Theo. with everything that goes with it.
Yeah, like that's what we are.
So. Yes, I know, but legally,
exactly. We want the law to fully reflect our family. You know, myself and Gavin, as I said, we're together 15 years. We're married 5. Every step of the way, we've done this together, and in every step, we are their parents. So we want their birth certs, and you know, we're lucky that we had our children in Colorado, in Denver, where we could get our birth cert to say father one, father two, because that reflects our family. So what we would like is for Ireland, we love this country, we believe in this country, we think it's forward thinking and progressive. So it just feels almost embarrassing that our country is treating us like this. But also our children, our children will go into school and they don't have the legal protections with their parents that all their other classmates do.
If a straight couple, Ray, had a baby in the United States tomorrow, an Irish couple were in the States for whatever reason and they came back with their baby would have a US passport for the rest of its life. But that passport would automatically be recognised in Ireland because it would have a mother's name and a father's name. But they're refusing to recognise our passport, they're refusing to recognise our birth cert, even though it has both of our names on it. And that just feels like discrimination.
And could authorities in Ireland, if they wished, would they be in their right to stop you at airports? No.
It is our baby. They are our babies.
I suppose they're not recognising that legally they're your babies in this country.
Yeah, worst case scenario, if something was to happen to our children in the hospital or whatever, we're not protected by law. So the hospital could keep us away from our children if they dug deep or realised that we've no legal relationship to them.
Right, okay. Yeah, you'd want to get this sorted before the two of them become of an age that they know what's going on, wouldn't you?
I think that's why we're just trying to raise awareness. And you mentioned the campaign there, Equality for Children. So we are starting to, as a group, lobby. But I suppose we are such a small, minority in the population that it is hard to get the government to listen to us and progress this.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure we'll talk in the future. This is going to take some time, I believe, just from talking about these things over the last 10 years or so. But for the moment, Brendan Spratt and Gavin McConnon, thanks so much for taking our call today.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.